I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture. There are two passages. One is in the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, and I shall begin reading with the 12th verse. The other is the Gospel of Matthew, the 2nd chapter, and we will begin with the 1st verse. But the first passage is the Gospel of John, the 12th chapter, the 12th verse. The next day, the great crowd that had come from the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as the scripture says, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things to him. And then in the Gospel of Matthew, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2, and then we will skip down to verse number 9. And after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We've come to worship him." Then in the 9th verse, "And after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh." Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Everybody seemed to know that something big was about to happen. The atmosphere was electric. Yesterday he was in Bethany. Last night they made him a supper there. The village was crowded with pilgrims from all over the country on their way to the feast in the holy city. This man who seemed to be more than a man, had been going up and down the countryside talking to folk about God. Many people liked him, but they sensed that the leaders of the church were against him. And they wondered if there would not be trouble if he came into Jerusalem this week. And they even questioned that. "Do you think he'll come?" they asked. "Will he dare show his face? Will there not be trouble if he enters Jerusalem this week?" Even as they questioned among themselves, the word came that he was on the way. Already he was in Bethany, and tomorrow he would enter Jerusalem. And as crowded as that place was, the word spread quickly. And the next morning, a teeming mob streamed out of the city on their way to meet him. Back there in Bethany, the disciples found a donkey for him to ride. Other pilgrims, recognizing what was taking place, fell in behind them, and they started the journey to Jerusalem. Thus, there were two processions moving toward each other. And somewhere between Jerusalem and Bethany, the crowd coming from the city met the crowd coming to the city. And their enthusiasm caught fire. They were so carried away with themselves that some took off their coats and spread them before him. Others broke off branches from the palm trees and spread them before him. And then as with a trumpet, they gave him their salute. "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Even the king." You know, all of that had its beginning and a birth 33 years earlier. We call it Advent. And it celebrates the birth of this same Jesus. And even then, he was acknowledged as a king. You remember the story well. In the fullness of God's own time, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. The multitude of the heavenly host appeared to some shepherds and announced, "There is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Wise men who had followed a star came searching this one who was born King of the Jews. And they followed that star until it led them to a house in Bethlehem. And when they came into the house and found the child, they fell down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and they gave him their gifts. Gifts of gold, of frankincense, and of myrrh. Today we continue in the Advent season. And we remind ourselves afresh that Jesus Christ is King. But is He really? Have we become so used to Him that we take Him for granted and He's just an old hat? Have we used words like Jesus, salvation, grace, redemption for so long that the words have lost their meaning and they're just words? Sometimes we wonder, can Jesus really be found in the church? When a church is stiff and cold and hard and indifferent to people, where's Jesus? When the church comes together and goes through the motions of worship as fast as it can in order to be finished within the prescribed hour, where's Jesus? When the church comes together to pray and there is no expectancy and no power, where is Jesus? When the church has lost any blaze of missionary zeal, where is Jesus? When the church is not burdened for the lost in the community in which it exists, where is Jesus? When the church cannot stand in wonder and love and praise before the mighty acts of God's redeeming grace, where is Jesus? Today, as we continue in the Advent season, it's necessary for us to pause and to re-examine our own lives and our relationship with Him. To invite Him afresh to come into our lives and to affirm all over again that Jesus is King. You know, if we will do that this morning, I think we will join the wise men. And we will find ourselves prostrate before Him, worshiping Him. And then we will open our treasures and we will give Him our gifts. You know, they gave Him their gold, the gift that represented their wealth. They took their wealth and they gave it to Him and said, "Lord, it's yours. Do with it anything you want." Most of us, it seems, believe that our wealth is ours, and we'll give God a bit. Rather than recognizing our wealth is His, and He permits us to keep a fraction. You see, all we are and all we have is His. And everything that is ours on the basis of stewardship. What a delight to give Him our gold. They gave Him frankincense, the gift that speaks of the spiritual. They made a spiritual sacrifice as well. We stand before the altar of spiritual sacrifice, and we prepare to enter the Holy of Holies and to stand in the very presence of the living God. And the spiritual sacrifice that rises before Him, the incense that brings pleasure to Him, is nothing less than you and me confessing that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And as we stand before the altar, we offer ourselves a holy, acceptable to Him. And the billows of smoke rise before Him. And in this He is honored and glorified. And with us, he's well pleased. They gave him myrrh. Myrrh was a drug. People got high on it. It controlled their lives. We stand before him today, and we give him anything in our lives that will spoil us and that will control us, and anything that will keep us from being the people that he has created us to be. We put it in his hands, and we give him the authority to set us free from its grip and to heal us from its effect. See, we come this morning to recognize afresh that the one whose birth we celebrate is indeed the King. And when we come to recognize that, not only with our minds, but with our hearts, we find ourselves with these wise men falling down before him to worship him. And then we join our voice with the host from Jerusalem. Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King. You know, we come this morning and see a table that is prepared during an Advent season, and we are reminded afresh, this is the King's table. And only King's children are invited to come and to share with him at his table. And so as we come this morning to look at our lives and the relationship we have with him, we confess all over again that we belong to him, that he is our King, and that we are his children. And we come to his table knowing that here he has made provision for every need that is ours. And we come to eat with him, and all of our lives are filled up, and we can leave this place praising and honoring and glorifying him. This is the question. Is he King in your life?